Welcome to this special Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, a program that has been on the air since 1937. And the purpose of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance is to bring Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to a lost and dying world. I hope you enjoy this Christmas edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Way up in the sky, little lamb, do you see what I see? A star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear? A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as a sea, with a voice as big as a sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child, shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. Pray for peace, people everywhere. Listen to what I say. The child, sleeping in the night, he will bring us goodness and light. He will bring us goodness and light.
That song, Do You Hear What I Hear, is on my album titled Christmas at the Cottage. I'm making that available to our listening audience during the month of December. You still have time to get yours and enjoy it for the Christmas season. Songs on the album, Come On Ring Those Bells, The First Noel, Mary Wrapped a Present to the World, Silent Night, White Christmas, Beautiful Star of Bethlehem, O Come All Ye Faithful, Heaven's Child, The Christmas Song, Winter Wonderland, What Child Is This? It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, Love Came Gently, His Presence at Christmas, and again, Do You Hear What I Hear? I'd like to send that to you. Just send me a note requesting it, and I'll get it off to you in CD format. You can also email me, lanelohman@me.com, and I'll be glad to send it out. I do hope you'll pray about supporting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance during the Christmas season. Since I am not working conducting revival meetings, the income for the ministry is limited. And so we need our friends to step up and help us out. If you can, we're a listener-supported radio program, faith-based ministry. So ask the Lord what he would have you do. It would mean so much to us during this Christmas season. I know there are a lot of hands held out wanting help during the holidays, and we do our best to assist others during this season, but you can help us, and we'll pay it forward the best we can. And you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. Hope you'll pray about doing that. It'll mean so much. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the privilege of broadcasting this wonderful gospel, especially during the Christmas season, when it seems like the ears and minds of so many are open to the name of Jesus, more so than at any other time of the year. Then I pray that the sermon, the songs, will be a blessing to those listening today. We thank you for our listening audience, for those who do send a gift from time to time. We appreciate that so very, very much. And I pray, Father, that you would be with that person that might be discouraged today, that's sick or that's shut in. I pray the program would indeed be a blessing to them. Bless the radio stations that air the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. They mean so much to us. Many of them are secular stations. Of course, we thank God for those wonderful Christian stations that air the program as well. I pray and ask all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget to pray for us, and don't forget to write to me. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Thanks so much.
Christ is born today, Christ is born today. Good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss, Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door and we are blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this, Christ was born for this.
Could point to a holy place, found a hiding place, he experienced a healing place. I don't know if you're familiar with this story. Most are, if you're a student of the Old Testament. You see, at this place in his life, when he had the dream, he's on the run. He's running from his brother. You see, he and his mother had conspired to get Esau's blessing. And so he went into his father, who could not see very well. He had put animal skin on his arms because he was fair when it came to his skin texture. His brother Esau was hairy, a man of the wild. And so they'd taken animal skin and put it on his arms and on his hands to fool Jacob's father. They brought a meal. He and his mother had prepared a meal to give to Isaac. And so Jacob goes in and says, "Give me your blessing, Father." And Isaac said, "You've got the voice of Jacob, but you've got the skin of Esau." And the ruse was completed. And he gave Jacob the blessing that Esau deserved. Esau found out. And if you don't believe Esau was upset with the result of all of that conspiring, you go to the Word of God and you will find what it has to say in chapter 27, verse 41. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I'm going to kill my brother." So that's why he left town. His brother wanted to kill him. His mother told him, "Jacob, maybe you ought to go see your uncle for a while. Maybe you ought to go visit him. Let Esau cool down." And now he's on this journey. He arrives in Haran. It's not going to be a couple of weeks visitation. He stays 20 years. How would you like to have your nephew come and stay 20 years? He stayed 20 years, and then one day the word of the Lord came to Jacob and said, "I want you to return." It's there in verse chapter 31, verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives." What do you think went through the mind of Jacob when the voice of God spoke into his mind, "Go back home"? I'll tell you what I think went through his mind. I think he thought to himself, "What will Esau do? If I go home, what will he do?" God had spoken, though. And so the Bible tells us that he gathered to himself his two wives. He had taken to himself two wives, Leah and Rachel. They had children. He had amassed for himself somewhat of a personal fortune by this time. And now he's on his way back to Canaan. And then a servant comes running up to him and says, "Master, Esau comes out against you with 400 men. Chapter 33, verse 1, Jacob looked up and there was Esau coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two female servants. He put the female servants and the children in front, Leah and her children next, Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground seven times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob with sword in hand, fire in his eyes, ready to pierce his brother asunder. Is that what it says? No. Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him, threw his arms around his neck, and he kissed him, and they wept. Regardless of what had happened prior to and what might happen afterwards, you can't make me believe anything other than that was a healing place, a healing between two brothers. I preached a revival meeting in Flemingsburg, Kentucky, about 3 weeks ago. I preached on the subject of forgiveness. And I opened the altar for people to come who felt that God had spoken to them about something going on in their life, a relationship or something that had happened for which they needed to extend forgiveness. And several people responded publicly, came to the altar. A man came up to me after that service and he said, "That message was for me." He said, "I've been estranged from my brothers for years. And we've not spoken. And it's time to mend the relationship." Everybody needs a healing place. I don't know what you brought into the service today, but that could be for you. Everybody needs a healing place. But then last of all, you could point to a holy place, found a hiding place, experienced a healing place, and he's returning to his home place. 20 years. 20 years he hasn't seen his mother or his father or Esau, other than that encounter on the road between Haran and Canaan. He's going home. And I used to preach this message and tell this story. I assumed that Isaac was already gone. He was already dead, but he wasn't. I read further and I discovered that Isaac was still alive. It says Jacob came home, chapter 35, verse 27. It says Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. So Isaac was still alive. His mother, no doubt, was still alive. He's going home. I can really identify with Jacob at this point. I was born in Salisbury. We moved to, are born in Greensboro. We moved to Salisbury for the night in the sermon after my third grade year. Spent most of my growing up years in Salisbury. Got through high school. Went off to college, crammed 4 years into six. Went into evangelism. Moved to Nashville, Tennessee. And I was gone from North Carolina for 20 years. And then through a set of circumstances, I came back. Accepted the call to pastor a church in Greensboro and was there for a few years. So I can identify with Jacob being gone from your home for 20 years. In those 20 years that I was gone, most of which was spent in evangelistic ministry, I can remember every once in a while I would receive an invitation to come back to North Carolina to conduct a revival meeting. And I'd look at the location of the church, and then I'd measure the distance between where the church was and where Salisbury was. And I would see it wasn't very far. That it was possibly commutable between Mother and Dad's house to the revival. So I'd get on the phone and I'd call the pastor of the church where I was going to conduct the revival. And I would say, I'm coming for the revival in a few weeks. I'm calling to ask a favor. Would you mind if I can clear this with Dad and Mom if I stayed with my parents during the revival? I never once, whenever I'd make that request when coming to North Carolina, I never once had a pastor deny me the request. Sure, Lane, that'll be fine. And then I'd get on the phone to my dad and my mom. Dad would answer the phone. Hi, Dad. It's Lane. Hi, son. Hey, Dad, I'm coming to North Carolina in a few weeks. Check your slate. Are you and Mom going to be at home? He'd check his slate because he was in evangelism too. Yeah, I'm going to be home that week. Will we get to see you? I said, well, that's why I'm calling you, Dad. I've checked with the pastor where I'm going to be, and he's given me permission to stay with you and Mom. Is that okay, Dad? Oh, sure, son, that's fine. We've got that spare bedroom there in the back of the house. You can stay there. That's great. And he'd say, will you be sure and let me know when you're going to get here? I said, well, Dad, wait a minute before you hang up. I got a couple of things I got to ask you. Hey, Dad, I'm going to need a car while I'm there. Could I borrow one of yours? Dad had two cars. And at that time, he had a beautiful 1986 Chevrolet Caprice Classic, maroon, beautiful. He said, you can drive the Chevrolet. Thanks, Pop. Oh, Dad, by the way, I'm going to fly into Charlotte. Could you pick me up at the airport? Let me know what time I'll be there. Time had come for the revival. I'd get on the phone at the first of the week, and I'd say, hey, Dad, I'm coming in Saturday night. I'll be there at this particular time. And he said, I'll be there. I'll see you curbside. That was before 9/11. And over the next couple of days, my mother and my dad prepared for my homecoming. Dad would go to the grocery store. He did all the grocery shopping. It was an adventure for him. Coupons in hand. And he would do the grocery shopping. He would pick up my favorite cereal, Cheerios. My favorite soft drink, cheer wine. When I tell that story in the north, I have to explain that. Mother would fix me, knowing that I have an insatiable sweet tooth, her classic caramel cake. Saturday night, I get off the plane. I can see it like it was yesterday. Down the escalator, still the same now as it was then. And I would look through the door is out there, and there's the back end of Dad's gray Mercury Marquee. I grab my bag as soon as it comes to the turnstile, and I go, walk out the door, and my dad sees me, and he comes meets me at the back of the car. He wasn't much of a hugger. He said, good to see you, son. I throw my stuff in the trunk of the car. Let's get back up to the house. Reason he wanted to get back up to the house because the Atlanta Braves were playing, and he wanted to see the tail end of the ball game. So we'd drive back up to Salisbury from the Charlotte airport. We'd arrive in the carport out there at Briarwood Terrace, and he'd get out of the car and rush on into the house and get the television on so he could watch the game. I'd get my bag out, and I'd come to the side door there in the carport. And there was Mom. Her name was Pearl Elizabeth Lohman. And she and I had this very intimate way of greeting one another. I wouldn't do it in front of other people. just Mom and me. When I saw her standing there at the door, I said, "Hi, Pearl." "Hi, son. Let me help you with your luggage," she'd say. "It's heavy, Mom. I'll take care of it." Have to go through the kitchen from that side door. And as I'd go through the kitchen, she'd say, "Son, would you like some refreshment before you go to bed?" "What do you got, Mom?" "I made a caramel cake." "Got any cheer wine?" "Sure do." "Did you fix any Jell-O?" "Got some Jell-O." "I'll take a wedge of that caramel cake and a dollop of Jell-O right on top of it. And a cold glass of cheer wine." "I'll get it, Mom." "No, son, you go get settled in your room. I'll fix it for you." I'd come back to the den. Dad's watching the ball game, and I find the chair over here, and she brings me my cake and my Jell-O and my cheer wine, and I sit there and I eat every last morsel of the cake and the Jell-O, drink that cheer wine down to the last drop, watching that ball game with my dad. And then I look at the clock on the mantel. Getting late. "Hey, Papa, I'm going to go to bed. Got to get up early. I want to get to church for Sunday school." And I get up with my dishes in hand and head toward the kitchen to drop them off there. As I pass my dad in his recliner, he says, "It's nice having you home, son." "Thanks, Pop. It's good to be home." I go down the hallway and get to that back bedroom on the left. Mother's already beat me back there. She's got the covers pulled down. I get ready for bed and slide between crisp, clean sheets and pillow my head. And Mother steps to the doorway and she says, "Son, what time do you need to get up in the morning?" "Oh, Mom, get me up around 7 o'clock. I want to get to the church in time for Sunday school." And she says, "What would you like for breakfast? What do you got?" "Picked up some country ham," she tells me. "Country ham? Yeah. How about country ham biscuits, Mom? And a cup of coffee." The next morning, she knocks on the door. "Son, 7 o'clock. "Thanks, Mom." I get ready, start down the hallway toward the kitchen. Dad's already up. He's got a revival to drive to himself. And he's sitting there at his desk, and he hears me coming down the hallway. He says, "Son," that's the way he talked, "Son, come in here." And I walked into his office, and he hands me the keys to the Chevrolet. It's been washed, oil's been changed, tire's been rotated, it's full of gas. "Thanks, Bob, I appreciate that." Then he hands me a credit card. "Here, if you need gas, put it on that card." "Oh, Dad, I don't need your credit card for gas." "Don't talk back to me. I'm still your dad. Take the credit card." "Thanks, Pop." I slide it in my pocket, never use it, and give it back to him on Wednesday. I walk into the kitchen to the aroma of ham that's been frying in a fry pan and biscuits that have been baking in the oven and coffee that's been brewing in the Mr. Coffee over there on the counter. My mom is taking those ham biscuits and wrapping them in individual pieces of saran wrap and dropping them down into a brown paper bag. She's got me a to-go cup of coffee, 3 sugars, just like I liked it. She walks with me out to the carport to the Chevrolet. I put my briefcase and the biscuits and the coffee in the car. I turn around to hug my mom, and she reaches that little bony arm of hers around my waist, and she slides a $20 bill into my palm. And she says, "You might need a little spending cash." "Thanks, Mom." And then she squeezes it a little tighter. She says, "I'll be praying for you today, son." And she would. She knew how to pray. And I can remember pulling out of that carport and looking in the rearview mirror. And my mom would stand there with her little arm around her waist like that. And the other arm up, waving. That scene was repeated every day I was there. Oh, I didn't get the $20 every day, but she stood there and she would wait. It's hard to believe they've been gone 24 years. I don't know what I would give if I could drive into that driveway and see my mom standing at the window there behind the sink in the kitchen and have her meet me at that side door and be able to say to her, "Hi, Pearl." After getting off the road from a revival meeting and hit the answering machine and hear my dad on the answering machine, this is what it would sound like. son, this is your dad. Call me when you get in. I want to see how the meeting went. I want to hear if they treated you okay. I wish I'd have kept one of those recordings. But they're gone. But you know what the Bible says? Jesus said it. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many palatial places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. Every one of you, every one of you needs to be sure you have a place being prepared for you.
Our time is coming gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Thanks so much for listening. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. I know you would also be welcome in Fostoria, Ohio, at the Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us a letter. Include us in your giving for Christmas. It would mean so much. You can write to us, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Till this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.